Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk. I know it's just not the same without that applause button going on in the beginning, but I promise you, we have an outstanding show. It's going to be an exquisite night. It's my New Year's Eve show. This is the show that we are taking into 2011. I could not be more excited. I have an outstanding guest, and we're going to bring her on. She's gonna wow you, as she always does, especially when Goldie gets it all recorded. And before we do that, let's just take a few deep breaths. Calm ourselves down. Yes, Goldie always enjoys calming herself down. And invite your essence into your physical being. You can say this out loud. You can say this to yourself. And again, this is an invitation. We're not begging or pleading with our essence to join us. We're delightfully and joyfully, like a child, inviting the broader aspect of who we are to join us in the physical experience. Breathing deeply too is such an it's like an instant cup of tea, hot bath, sitting out in the woods. I mean, it just immediately brings my whole being to a state of calm, to a state of peacefulness. And I recommend that you feel free to invite your essence in anytime, all the time, everywhere you are. If you're sitting in a traffic jam, invite your essence in. It will help you experience that time differently. You'll find that, you know, rushing someplace to get some, you know, the energy of rushing when you're stuck in a traffic jam that's not moving is useless. So when you invite your essence in, you'll find that your essence will really help you just understand kind of the illusion of time. And if you're going to be sitting still in your car, bring some meditation music with you. Bring download this radio show. You know, there's audio books. There's so many glorious things that you can bring with you that when, you know, life throws you a curveball, you can really answer that curveball by smacking it out of the park, by doing what's good for your soul and what's good for your essence. And then when you arrive, whether it's late or not, you're in a space of peace instead of a space of chaos. And I promise you, wherever you're going, you bring more to that experience that you're going to in the place of peace than you do in chaos. So, you know, that's Goldie's little tidbit for the night. My guest tonight is Dr. Susan Lee. She's exquisite. She has been writing newsletters and books for, well, shucks, I don't even want to get this wrong. I mean, over 10 years, but are you over 15 years that you've been doing this writing?
Well, let me see. I think I really seriously started writing about 92, and I think I started the website around 96.
Okay. So just around the 14-year mark for the website, which is, and I'll be honest with you, Sue, I think I've been right along with you, I think, since like 99. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and because, you know, multidimensions.com, your writing struck a chord with me. And to this day, your blog, your newsletters, your books, and by the way, everybody, check out the website. If you download the books, Sue gives them away at no cost. The information she is sharing, which I'm so delighted because the information is so informative from a multidimensional perspective. And I believe we're all having multidimensional experiences in our sleep. Many of us are starting to become lucid about this. And when you read the work that she's written, there's a comfort to know that this is not, you know, this is not aliens coming to, you know, take our bodies over, and, you know, this is not Hollywood. This is the real imagination.
Which I was coming to take over our body. Hooray.
I mean, it's so funny how I have to tell the kids, you know, because they'll look at me and go, is it real? And I'm like, it's all real. It's the beauty of it. It's all real. And you have an exquisite understanding of it that I have resonated with since the very first time I ever clicked on your page. So I can't be more delighted that you're here. I'm so glad that you're open to pre-taping, because it is, when this airs, it will be the eve of New Year's Eve. So, you know, I can definitely feel 2011, you know, it's so funny. Normally in November, I can talk about 2011, but I'll be honest with you, there's so much energy potential. We're actually doing this pre-tape on November 23rd. It seems like we can't even jump to, you know, New Year's Eve without, you know, that there's going to be significant shifting going on between now and then.
Definitely significant shifting every day.
Exactly.
Every day. It's very intense and very wonderful and very exhausting.
Yeah.
So we have to get lots of sleep and drink lots of water. And, you know, the main thing that I'm hearing and everyone else is hearing is that we do not want to do anything that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
We are sick of the old paradigm of have to and must and should and guilt-ridden and fear-driven and confusion and anxiety. It's just boring.
Yeah.
Boring, we're done. You know, once you get a good whiff of what it's like in the higher worlds, you're just done playing this game.
It's very true. And when you say you're done, I think you're done playing the game as the sheeple. Because,
yes,
you know, I'm excited to play the game as the creator, which is a different space.
It is a totally different space, and I don't really see those together. I see that once we're the creator, we're not playing the game at all. I mean, there's no playing.
There you go. Indeed. And I don't want to get into semantics because your writing and your philosophy, I'm so on board with it. I have never been more joyful to be on the planet than I am right now. And, you know, I mean, I'm 45 years old. I didn't know, like, I've always known something was going to happen in this lifetime, but I had no idea the significance that it would have in my lifetime, you know, that microcosm, macrocosm kind of thing.
Well, joyful is definitely the kind of energy field that you want to hold because
indeed,
it's such an expansive energy field.
Yeah.
You know, joyful, joy and unconditional love. That's the higher beings. They don't say, I'm happy to see. They always say, I'm joyful to see you.
Yeah.
They say, I love you. They say, I love you unconditionally. So both of those are like, joyful, I think, is a fifth-dimensional expression of happiness, and unconditional love is a fifth-dimensional expression of human love, which once in a while is unconditional, and more often than not is quite conditional.
Right.
So it's just, you know, that's what I'm saying when I'm saying that we're done. You know, it's that we're done pretending that we don't know what we know.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of us that really know a lot. And I don't, you know, people like me that have been around for a while, okay, baby boomer type folks, you know, a lot of us, we were awake even when we were kids. And so people like us that have been awake since, like, you know, the 50s, which was really the height of illusion and, you know, brainwashing,
right.
It's been a long row of hiding out and keeping our mouths shut and pretending to be somebody that we're not. And so we have a very large habit pattern of, you know, hiding underneath the bushel, as the Bible would say. So now it's time for us to stick our light up and say, you know, here we go. And the good news is that, you know, the women are into the crone phase and the men are into the sage phase, and we have enough freedom that we can pretty much you know, be who we want to be and do what we want to do, and that is very joyful.
Indeed.
And then
indeed,
you see the kids that are the, like, you know, I'm still a psychotherapist, and several of my clients have kids that are really the new children.
Yeah.
And the new children, they say, oh, they can't concentrate, they can't pay attention. If they're doing what they love doing, they can do it for hours and hours and hours.
Absolutely.
So it's not that they have attention deficit. It's that they are done with the 3D game.
Yeah.
They remember innately what it took the rest of us a really long time to remember. And they're courageous little beings that they're just setting it down and saying, you know, you guys want to play that, but that's not my life. I'm in the fifth dimension. You want to join me? It's really cool up here.
Exactly. I mean, it's a beautiful, unconditionally loving party. Who
yeah,
wouldn't want to go? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, God, you know, it is truly amazing because I've never felt so that I belong in a time frame as I do right now. And it's funny because for me, I've been a rebel all my life. It's kind of humorous to me that my rebellion shows up in today's consciousness as integrity and unconditional love. I just find it so humorous that is the rebellion, you know, where mass consciousness is all out there, you know, collapsing, blaming each other, you know, that whole duality gig. And it just cracks me up because when I was younger, to be a rebel, you know, I looked at myself as being, you know, the good girl gone bad. Now, to be the rebel, I'm the bad girl gone good.
Well, you want to really experience the whole polarity game before you start.
Well, you know, because I just get the fact that as long as I can be rebellious, which is, I heard on somebody's channelings or something, I think it might have been Barbara Marciniak with the Pleiadians, said that the rebels are the ones that are actually very much playing a part right now, in that we're very strong souls going through this particular time, like the end of 2010 into 2011 into 2012, you know, there's a potential it's going to get dark on the planet, and yet I've never felt more prepared for whatever is going to come as a light being.
Right.
Are you experiencing that as well?
I just have confidence that this is it, that we're going home. And
yeah,
home is coming to us, and the gap is closing. I mean, I think it's on my last blog I talked about closing the gap.
Yeah.
That that was like a message that I got from the Arcturians that, you know, for me who's been on this journey for a very long time, and for others who's been on the journey for a very long time, and even the people that are new to the journey, but things happen so much faster. You know, what
took
us decades, today it takes months, you know, because everything is going so fast. But first we see that heaven or God or higher self or whatever that blurry vision is way up there. We're way down here, you know. And so slowly and slowly it's getting closer and closer and closer. And now it's like just beyond the tip of your nose. It's so close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like it's really already here. It's a matter of our frequency tuning into it.
It's keeping the frequency up. And, you know, when we're meditating or when we're doing what we're loving, I had an experience this morning where I was doing my morning meditation and I had a whole bunch of things I had to do.
Right.
But I wanted to be active within that state of consciousness, that it was just probably theta brain waves. I could see, but, my eyes were open. I could move around, but, you know, that sense of, you know, loving and calm and kind of tingly all over. And so I went and I did some creative work on my latest YouTube, which is really fun because I've been making composite pictures lately, and that's really... I've always liked putting images to words because The words really activate our left hemisphere, and the images really activate our right hemisphere. So if we get the words and the images at the same time, then it brings our hemispheres together.
Whole brain functioning.
That whole brain thinking. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And so it just goes poof. You know, it just is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you just explained why I take such passion. When I post on Facebook, you know, I'm searching Google because it's very important for me to, I'll know the picture, but I want a picture to go with the words. And I never knew why. I thought it was my own creative experience awakening, but I believe that, you know, from some level is I subconsciously knew that it is a whole experience to
right.
see the pictures with the words.
Right. Because people understand both. You know, they look at both at the same time.
Yeah.
And they experience both at the same time. And so that activates that whole brain experience. And when you get that whole brain experience, then it activates that latent DNA, what the scientists call the junk DNA.
Nice.
97% of our DNA. But this DNA, the, quote, junk DNA, is like the hard drive for our transformation into light body.
Oh, wow.
And this DNA gets activated, then it activates the whole brain thinking, and then the whole brain thinking activates this DNA. And these DNAs, they found, are mini little wormholes. They're like little quantum wormholes. And scientists in Russia and even the military here, they've done different experiments with the DNA, and do I have a minute to tell you one? I'll just tell you one.
Please.
Yeah. Okay, so one that kind of says it all in one little experiment is that they took strands of DNA, of this DNA, and they put it in the other room in little vials with their names on them or whatever, and then they had the people in the other room, and they showed them pictures that are like scary pictures or sad or angry pictures. And then their DNA kind of like collapsed in on itself.
Okay.
And then they showed them pictures of love and joy and happiness, and the DNA just, boing, you know, jumped up like a perky little DNA. And they said, wow, this is cool, you know, because the DNA, was it exact time that the people had the response? And they said, well, let's move it away. And so they took it like 50, 60, 70 miles away. They could have taken it on the side of the world. It was exactly the same. The time was the reaction time of the DNA was exactly the same, even though the result is distance.
Yeah.
And so their explanation is that in this DNA, they have little wormholes. And these little wormholes will go through their quantum place. So it goes through the quantum reality. There's no time. There's no space. Everything's instant.
Yeah. The speed of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Our little switch.
Well, you know, and it reminds me of the, you know, Dr. Emoto with the water.
Absolutely.
Molecules. You know, it's like this really is. We are a hologram that, you know, it's like whether we're going through sound or colors or light, it all responds to the expansional frequencies and vibrations and tones of love. You know. Everything responds to that. And it's so funny how, for me, it feels like everybody kind of really knows that. It just seems like there's this conditioning, you know, it's like a layer of conditioning, you know, that makes people argue that. Because,
I think part of it is you can't believe it till you can experience it. And, you know, the flip side, of course, is that it's not prejudice, it's just love. It instantly responds to fear as well.
Right.
And so if we hold intention and have fearful intentions, we're going to create that reality just as quickly as if we have loving intentions.
No, that's true.
And you know, and I think it has a lot, well, I know it has a lot to do with our state of consciousness. So those of us that have integrated more and more light and have a higher state of consciousness, we get that feedback very quickly.
Yes.
So, you know, we start thinking something negative and bang, it's right there, you know. And the flip side of this is something positive and it's right there as well.
Yes.
But people that have not raised the frequency of their reality, of their state of consciousness, their feedback will be much slower. So they might have to hold that intention for a really long time for that good thing to come. And if they're doing something that's fear-based, then they can get away with it without it coming back in their face for quite a while.
Right.
So it's difficult for them to understand this because to them, the reaction is so separated by time, so to speak, that it's hard to put the two together. But as soon as you start waking up, the time gets shorter and shorter, and then, you know, you can't ignore it. You know, you think something negative, and bang, it's right there.
Exactly.
So
exactly
then
right.
It's like, okay, I'm really going to take a moment. You know, that's why mastery is really, you know, learning to be the master of our energy, to really be the master to choose the thoughts that we want to hold in our consciousness, which is a full-time job.
Yes.
I mean, I'm working on that all the time, and I've been meditating for like 40 years and blah, blah. No, it does not go away.
Exactly.
I still
have
to be on it all the time. And I'm always clearing stuff. And sometimes I'll get tired or sick, and then I just like go to sleep because I'm too tired to clear it. You know, I need a rest, you know.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when I put out an intention for something, well, you know, I don't really put out too many intentions for much anymore because I just want to live in the now. And so what my intention is, I'll just kind of, you know, move into my soul self and say, okay, next instruction. And
fall
into whatever.
Being in the flow is the intention. Well, because I was going to ask you, on your blog, you were doing meditations for healing the planets.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely want to talk about that because I know a lot of people that follow my Facebook know that I follow, you know, I'm in the woods pretty much daily because it just fills my tank with
the
love that I desire. I mean, so I know that there's a resonance about Earth and the beauty of, you know, I tell everybody, if you just connect to Earth, and even if you just place your being, your physical being on her, she'll connect with you, you know, and inevitably you'll find that when you're sitting out in nature, when you go back in, you feel better, even if nothing has changed.
Absolutely.
You know, right? Your bills aren't paid per se, but you just don't feel so, I don't know, just so disconnected and lost. There's a sense of well-being that is radiating from the Earth. And with your connection to the, you know, to the galactics, bringing it into the grounding it into our planet, it's such a profound experience to share and to be a part of, because then you also get, you know, when two or more gather in my name, you know, you got a nice following. You know, we could really do some, you know, or you're clearly doing some significant healing to the planet.
Well, that's my intention. I've been doing groups. I kind of got busy with whatever, and I posted one, two. Actually, I made the meditations for one, two, and three.
Okay.
And I've been doing groups, and it's been really, really amazing.
Okay.
But I stopped doing that, but I'm going to be going to Big Sur in a couple of weeks, and
nice.
I'll be up in the Redwoods, which is Lemuria, the land of Lemuria, the Redwoods.
Nice.
So I plan on doing those other, doing the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. But I just got doing other things. And I didn't
get
and I
think that, but isn't there a divinity about that? You know, in other words, let's soak in 1, 2, and 3, then we'll go into 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know.
Well, you know, because I've done maybe three groups now on this specific thing.
Okay.
And I find that the rubber hits the road when you get to the heart chakra.
Yeah.
You know, and so
yes.
1, 2, and 3 is a very different energy. This is all of your human self. You know, 1 is your, the way I've been looking at it is 1 is like your wounded warrior, and then we turn it around to find our you know, our powerful warrior, and then 2 is our child, and so, you know, we look into our wounded child, and then we replace that with, you know, our divine child, and then 3 is when we've lost our power, and, you know, time when we lost our power, and then we replace that with with our power within, and then all of these we, you know, share with Gaia, you know, with each, you know, with each meditation during as a part of the meditation.
Right.
But then when it gets to the heart chakra, now it's something very different. It's a huge frequency jump. And I didn't realize what a huge frequency jump it was until I saw what kind of the things that went on with the group. With me, when my chakras are opening, the huge frequency jump wasn't my heart. And I think it's because I had been so connected to my guides all of my life and so connected to Christ consciousness,
right,
that one just flowed open. You know, 1, 2, and 3 were really hard.
Right.
4 was like, you know, my heart chakra was like a rest. Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
5th chakra was horrific.
Really?
I had to clear all the times in my life that I spoke out and I was sorry.
Oh, okay.
You know, all,
yeah.
And all of my lifetimes, many, I remember all my lifetimes. You know, when I was burnt at the stake and stoned,
yeah,
killed and tortured, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, that can leave a mark on a DNA.
Yeah, that leaves a mark. So that,
yeah,
that was a hard one. That,
okay.
That was
very
a hard one. And then the 5th and 6th weren't as hard, but different people have, you know, according to what's gone on with our soul and, you know, what particular things we have already cleared and the things that we've got left.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Which is, and isn't that, is, I mean, I'm getting the sense, and from almost everybody that I'm listening to or reading, now the chaos really is about, this is the time to deal with it, which is essentially integrated back into self. It's not about, you know, if, you know, having, it's not about pointing your finger at that which is pissing you off, so to speak. I hope I haven't offended you with that word. It's about understanding it's a part of self that's making us angry, and that it's a part of ourselves that, you know, in order to experience the duality of the third dimension, had to separate. But on the same note, in order to experience the higher frequencies of the 4th and the 5th, it now has to be integrated. It has to come back in. Otherwise, there's not wholeness. You're not going to really stabilize in the, and this is anybody, nobody can stabilize in the 5th dimension as long as there's still pieces scattered around of quote-unquote unlovable acts, or I don't know what, how to, you know, unlovable frequencies.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's all coming up, because everybody's like, if it's, you know, if we're going into this frequency, why is the planet in such chaos? But I'm like, because, you know, we're literally, you know, if you ask any healer that's a genuine healer, we're purging our caca.
Well, also, see, what does happen is it is a polarized planet, and whenever there's a big paradigm shift, like what we're having now, from,
okay,
you know, separation to unity.
Right.
The polarities get the most extreme. It's like when is the world flat or is the world round? And, oh, the world,
right,
you know, it's flat. No, it's round. No, it's flat. And then it gets really polarized. You know, half the people are, you know, say, oh, the world is round. You have, no, the world's flat. What are you thinking? And so then you have to get that critical mass going so that the world is round kicks in. And
right.
So what's happening now is that we're having the most polarized, because there are people that are having amazingly beautiful mystical experiences, and some of the things that people that write in and tell me about the experiences that they're having, you know, just waking up and just full on like Superman, you know?
Yeah.
Superwoman.
Yeah.
Amazing things happening. They wake up and bang, it's there all at once. And then at the same time, there's people that are still very, very much involved in power over others, you know, like the Illuminati and the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the blaming
order
of everything.
Yeah. And so it's that final shifting. And then those of us that are actually choosing the light, that are choosing the 5th dimension, because it really is a choice. And
yes,
people that are not willing to leave that paradigm where they can have power over others, then they're not ready to graduate, and they'll go to another third dimensional reality, and they'll keep playing that game until they've decided that they've learned everything there is to learn from it. So,
right.
From that higher perspective, they're not bad. They're just kind of stuck. They failed. They didn't.
Right.
They didn't graduate.
They didn't graduate. Right. They're staying back. They're being held back a grade. And I believe that, because we're eternal beings, there's always another opportunity at some point. I mean, I believe it's going to be quite a few thousand years, but nonetheless, there's always another opportunity to come back into to source, our source.
That's always there. It's always there. And,
right.
I, from one of my early teachers, what they heard is that a lot of the people that are kind of, holding the dark flag came in that way. And, 26,000 years later, they're still playing that game.
Wow. Yeah,
so,
that's... you think they'd get bored.
They'd get bored, but, but the thing is that they go back and forth. They go from being the victimizer, then they're the victim, and then they want to be the victimizer,
right.
And then they have karma, so they have to be the victim.
So they're just
swinging back and forth, and they can't find that middle space.
Yeah.
And, if they could just slow down and not be reactive to either being the victim or the victimizer, because it's the same. It's the same end of the spectrum.
Yes.
And a really important thing in awakening is to release that victim, because when we create ourselves as a victim, it's really because we're not loving ourselves unconditionally.
Absolutely.
Because if we love ourselves unconditionally, we just say, oh, now, why did I create that? Let me see now.
Yeah.
And it's always a challenge to do that. I mean, I just had this thing. I had to spend I think it was $5,000 on my car.
Wow.
And it was the payoff for the whole car was $3,000.
Okay.
And so I really, this was a challenge. I was really having to go through it. And then finally I just said, okay, universe, obviously I'm having to say, I am creating for myself a little thing to just, I have to go through some adversity here.
Right.
And if I'm, of all the ways that I can have adversity and I have to spend a lot of money for the health of something, I would rather spend it on the health for my car.
Right.
Than for myself or any of my people.
Right.
So thank you, car, for being the one to take on this.
Yeah, exactly.
Good car. Love you, car. Good car. But, I had to work it. I had to really work it.
Well, because with great awareness truly does come great responsibility. I am getting that in my own experience that, the tools have changed. Like, when I was a rebel, in my dark days, the tools were might and fight and being right. Those were the three significant things that stood behind me that gave me the power, like you said, to be who I was, no matter who else was saying what I was. That was my power. Where now it is, humility is my strength, vulnerability is my strength, and unconditional love. And it's such a different frequency. But it really is the exact, that is the tools. I have eaten humble pie on several occasions, and I can hear my old head, my old voice, so to speak, going, why is it you always have to be the one to eat humble pie? And now in my level of awareness, I go, because I'm creating reality. So I don't want if I push, that's fine, but like you said earlier, I know I'm going to get pushed back quickly.
Yeah.
I don't like being, I like a reality that is very much, the best way to describe it is childlike, not childish, but childlike, where, there's safety in the joy and, laughing and giggling without having to look around every corner to see if, someone's going to punch my face out, which, when I was being a bad girl, that was very real. I know that world, and I don't want to create it in my space of awareness that,
oh, I'm creating this. Let's not do that.
Well, and you know, and also that's an interesting thing is because we come in with a certain personality system.
Yeah.
And we explore all the different ways that we can express that personality system.
Nice.
You know, like when I was young, I was the victim. I was way the victim and this bad thing or that bad thing and wasn't my fault and guess I'll eat a worm. And, you know, I went through all of that.
Right.
But at the same time, I was really independent, really, really independent. And a lot of what that, you know, we can look at our chart and see what our energy field is.
Okay.
And so, you know, we play, that's the energy field that we came in to play with this life.
Right.
You know, it's like we programmed. When we're coming in now and the people that wake up, you know, we're really advanced souls. In fact, you know, we stood in line and had to write a petition to be here now.
Yes. I have heard that from several people. I really believe that. Yeah.
It's an absolute honor. And, you know, some of the people that came in to play the bad guys are probably really high souls. But, you know, you needed to have a bad guy, you know, for the end of the duality game.
So absolutely.
You got to have the white hats and the black hats, you know. Remember in black and white TV, you know, the good guys had the white hats.
I've actually heard, you know, just as a sidebar, that Adolf Hitler is actually on the planet now in several lives. Not, you know, he's more than one. And he's experiencing everything he did because, I mean, this is just what I heard. I heard that when he initially died in, you know, whatever, in 42 or 44, whatever it was, because when we die, we experience what we have done to others from their perspective, his soul got, like, really twisted and, you know, just whacked. And
fragmented.
It very much so. I mean, and that it took him to come to this point in frequency and in the now moment, so to speak, where he said, now I want to go back and I'm strong enough to experience that, which I did. And it's actually, he's supposedly, like if there's like seven of him, there's a potential that if he awakens in one of those lifetimes, that he'll be like this, you know, incredible master energy, that there's great and grand potential of him turning the corner. And I know from my own liberation from being a total, you know, drug addict to who I am now, that liberation can be absolutely, it can go from a curse to a blessing.
Yes.
So, you know, my friends all think I'm crazy, but I'm rooting for, you know, Hitler's soul.
Well, you know, they say that the higher the climb, the steeper the fall.
Right.
But someone who has fallen very far, if they can climb their way back up, that's a really great victory.
Indeed.
You know, that's a very empowering thing.
Indeed.
So, you know, what that is, it brings hope to people that might say, oh, well, I'll never be able to fix it. You know, it's not, karma isn't, people think, well, you did this bad thing, now you got to pay for it.
Right.
No, it's just about if you don't get back what you put out, then how are you going to learn what you get back, what you put out?
What you put out, exactly.
Yeah.
It's more like a law than it is a decision, you know.
Yeah, it's not a punishment in any fashion.
Right.
And, you know, even thinking in terms of bad and good is very third dimensional.
I agree.
And so I've been really from the from channeling the Arcturians there, I kind of feel them struggling to try and take this communication means that's based on all unity and unconditional love and explain it to a mind that's still,
right.
You know, put it through the vocabulary of a third dimensional language.
Yeah.
Because the third dimensional language needs to be way upgraded because it's based on, you know, you and me, so it's based on separation,
right.
You know, nouns and pronouns and on good and bad and, you know, pretty and ugly and smart and dumb and all these polarities.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're in the fifth dimension, we're not going to have any of these polarities.
Well, do we even talk in the fifth dimension? Is it telepathic communication?
I think it's telepathic, and it comes through a blast of the one.
Right.
You know, you don't say, hi, How are you today? I am so happy to see you. It's like, you know, and then you back, and then you got the whole message, and you merge for a minute, and then you do whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I think, right, I think it's a matter of synchronicity will play clearly a much bigger role, because it's almost like everything just flows in the orchestration of the one, and they know that they're doing it, so, you know, we don't think about planning something, because there is no planning. It's unfolding in the now moment, and when everyone on the planet is trusting that, you know, it's just such a divine dance, you know, that everything's conscious of everything else. And I mean, I really believe we're going to live through, we're going to see this in our lifetimes. I mean, me and you, and you know, I mean, we're not kids, but
yes.
I think we're going to see this in our lifetimes and experience that. It's like, I mean, that really is like so major, and yet, you know, it's like I've always known this. I haven't always had the words, and that's where, you know, blessings to people like you who have helped at least channel the words for me that I got it. You know, like I got it enough to know that there was more to than what the people in my immediate world were saying to me. Because, you know, they basically, you know, I've talked to animals my whole life, and, you know, they were like, oh, you know, that's nice, but, you know, like, I was raised Jewish, so it was all interpreted, so now you're going to go to school and become a vet, right? You know, and it's like, I didn't really do school. School, you know, was similar to the kids today. That's how I was. You know, I skipped school in first grade because I was like, I am so bored. This is just, I don't want to be here. I'd rather be home, you know, watching cartoons. At least that was fun, you know. And it was like I never really, and I was born, you know, into a Jewish culture, which is very educated, from a cultural point of view. And, you know, here I am, it's like going, well, we should be outside. We should be learning what the animals want to teach us and what the plants want to teach us. And, you know, growing
well,
up,
you know,
we're not going to be having that.
The ones that are awakened when they're young. And back then it was a earlier time. And so, you know, your ego got wounded. All of our egos got wounded.
Yeah.
Because we were letting ourselves out. We are opening our mouths and remembering what we remembered before we even took our bodies. And people are like, oh, that must have been a dream. What's wrong with you? What, you know, you don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And so then we start shutting down and shutting down, or, you know, in my case or in your case, being a rebel, or, you know, and different things. And now is the challenge. Now the most important thing is that we all know, okay, ollie, ollie, oxen, free, free, free. Now it's time for us to come out. We can come out now.
Yes.
And we need to come out. For every one of us that has the courage to say some kind of a light statement, you know, oh, well, the land is unity. We're having unity. Or when people come and say, oh, I'm so scared and it's so terrible, they say, yes, I know it's scary now, but it's going to be fine because, you know, we're going into the fifth dimension and it's going to be beautiful for everybody and we don't have to be afraid.
Exactly.
And then people might look at you like you just grew a second head, and then you just smile back at them and walk away. And it's okay, because we know. We have the, quote, knowing.
Yes.
We know we are right. And when we signed our petition to get born here, we said, we are going to come out. We're going to wake up, and we're going to come out, and we're going to say, look, this is the truth. You don't have to be afraid.
Exactly.
Because the most important thing, if we can make it, if we can offer people something so they're not afraid.
Yeah.
Because it's that fear. That's the opposite of love, you know. So anytime that we can ease anybody in their fearful thinking, we have really done a great service to Gaia.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, I'm always preaching to the choir, go to nature, whether it's the woods or the beach. I go, even if you're just sitting outside your front stoop and just take, you know, when it's warm out and take your shoes off and just put your feet in the grass. I was like, Earth has a wisdom. You know, I'm like, and then once you're into it, I mean, I have found hot spots. I mean, because there are definitely energetic hot spots. You know, people, you know, I used to think, oh, you got to go to Sedona, you got to go to Machu Picchu, or, you know, Egypt. I got a Native American hotspot
so that's Celtic, 50 minutes from my house. You know, it's like, it's kind of like when you're ready, you'll find that there are hot spots, I'm sure, within an hour to 2 hours in every direction, no matter where you live, because there are, you know, these, the ley lines where they connect, that's
right.
A hot spot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The Earth didn't just make it, you know, certain parts of the world were going to be energetically aligned and the rest was going to go down the toilet. It's like everything's awakening. The planet's awakening. If we would just get out of these boxes, whether it's the cubicles or their cars or the TV, and just go sit in nature, you know, and even if they brought their work with them, I would be even okay with that. You know, just to have nature connect with them, because it seems like the greatest dysfunction in our culture right now is we think we're not natural, or we think we're above nature. Like nature is here to serve us as if we are not part of this consciousness that, you know, when we kill the Gulf, we kill a part of us. You know, this is...
Well, and no, by the way, that brings up something important, because we didn't do any of it. I mean, these things, you know, and Gaia didn't do these things. There's those dark forces. They have weather machines, that HAARP, H-A-A-R-P.
Yeah, yes.
They've had weather machines. And
yeah.
And I'm saying this to take a Gaia, because she's taking a rap that she's having this hurricane here and this earthquake there. No, Gaia didn't do that. Humans did that. The dark humans did that.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because we don't have to fight them, because we are moving into a higher frequency. They're not.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to fight them. We don't have to save them. We don't even have to love them.
Exactly.
So I think if we can send them unconditional love, then you're probably a better man than I. I kind of have trouble with that, but I work on it.
Well, listen, whatever you're doing, you're doing awesome work, Sue. So if you're not sending that, I got it covered. I'll send them unconditional love. You keep communicating with the Arcturians.
Okay, good. That's your job. Thank
exactly.
You. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But
are you, I mean, you must have some relationship with nature, because you're exquisite.
Yes, very. I'm looking out at my yard. I have the most amazing backyard.
Okay.
That I was rewarded. The universe took care of me, and I got this yard, this house that's like 5 blocks from the beach. And
nice.
I've got a beautiful, wonderful backyard just filled with fairies. And I can walk down to the ocean and just stand right on the edge of the water, and the mother gives me a big hug and kiss. And, you know, nature is important. And I love trees, so I need to go and be in trees. I mean, nature is really an important thing. She's our mother. She's who
exactly.
we are.
She's
and
who we are.
We have that planetary consciousness.
Yeah.
And we are the planet. We are an extension of her.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of like the fleas on the dog. We think that we're all so great. No, we're the fleas on the dog.
Exactly.
You know, we're the fleas on the dog.
Yeah.
We need to love our dog, because without our dog, we would just be a flea flying around. It wouldn't last too long. So.
it's exactly. And the beautiful thing is, as we awaken by sitting in nature, like I said, and it doesn't matter whether it's the beach or the forest or a mountain or just a patch of a park. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Or a plant in your living room, whatever.
And if that's all you can get, I mean, definitely. I mean, I both of the rooms that I spend most of my time in my father's house, I mean, I have filled with plants. But there is nothing like being surrounded. I mean, because the one thing about the water is you have, when the waves are crashing, they're releasing negative ions, just like what the trees are doing in a forest.
Yeah.
It's an experience that is absolutely conducive to well-being. Because once you feel well, your desires and your motivations naturally go in alignment to heal, whatever is in your path and your guardianship to do, to heal. It's not, you know, because I hear people saying all the time, I should. And the minute they say should, I'm like, you shouldn't do anything other than what brings you joy. You know, if you're doing this for accolades.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, crazy.
And if we all did that, if we all stood as one voice and said, I'm only doing what brings me unconditional love and joy. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you know what? We would create, we are in the midst of doing that. We are in the midst of creating a beautiful society. When we move into, when we return to fifth dimensional Earth, with all that we've learned in our little jaunt down into the polarized world, we are going to be so excited that we, you know, we don't have to pay bills. We don't have to go to work. We don't have to do anything.
Right.
You know, we share and we love. And people say, oh, it could be boring. Well, maybe they're not ready for that, Rhea. Maybe they want some more third dimension. That's fine.
Right.
You know, nobody has, you know, this is a free will planet.
Yes.
So everybody has their choice. But we have now come into a majority of light. And what I've heard, it's only like 18%, but because light people that are awakened, carry so much more light, it, in terms of the light spectrum, it's the 51% that's needed.
Exactly.
And
because
I've
it takes one person to of light to cancel out 100,000. So, you know, because it's finally our time, because I get, whenever I hear people say, you know, well, it's a free will planet, I'm like, absolutely. But it's like, listen, my free will is to live in unity consciousness. I am just so excited that there's a galactic alignment that finally is supporting this, whether, you know, not just our space brothers, but being in alignment with, the, you know, Alcyon. And in other words, now it's my turn to finally say, listen, I'm happy to let you third-dimensional people continue to play third-dimensional games. That's cool. I have been working my tail off pretty much this entire life to not be there.
And many others. I mean, I one of my blessings and curses is that I came in remembering my life.
Yeah.
Oh, so many lives. And,
wow.
You know, not always a fun thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And but because I knew them, I learned how to, you know, go in and heal them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't heal every life because you've had thousands probably, but
there's patterns, so to speak, though, right? Like
yeah.
archetypes of them. Right.
Right, the archetype for each pattern.
Right.
So, yeah, anyhow, so
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
We are at that place where the path is open, and it is happening, and it's so vital that we believe it, because belief has such power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, belief sets our state of consciousness.
Yes.
If we are believing that we are ascending into the fifth dimension, think what that does to your consciousness. That just expands your consciousness. I mean, it's all the time when I try to get, you know, those old worries of, oh, yeah, this, and oh, that bill, or that, oh, or that, I'd do this thing, or blah, you know.
Right.
I believe, I go back to the belief, I am ascending. I am returning to the fifth dimension.
That's
and
cool.
So those beliefs, they became little ants. Which is why I love going in nature. You know, when you're out in nature and you've done a big hike and you're up the top of the mountain, and then you look and there's mountains six times higher, you're a little speck, a little teeny speck.
Right.
Suddenly those big problems that were so overwhelming in the city, they don't mean a thing.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's all perspective,
so,
yes.
It's just all perspective. And so if we're looking that we're going, and we are ascending. This is it, folks. We're all coming. You know, what was that?
And everybody's welcome. I love the idea that it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what your last name is, what your gender, your race, your religion. Everybody's welcome to love if they want to. That's exquisite.
Conditional love.
Yeah.
Conditional.
Yeah.
Okay,
I am here to announce that, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and my lovely guest has asked and requested beautifully that she just wants to have some stretch time and be able to stand up, because 2 hours can be a long situation.
Yes, I'm an old woman now. I'm a crow.
Oh, you are not old. You are ascending, young lady.
I'm ascending. My body is getting younger every day. But in the meantime.
Well, I'll tell you, though, going from carbon-based to crystalline clearly gives the appearance of aging. Because there's definitely some aches that I'm like, you know, people look and they go, you know, you sure you know what you're doing? And I'm like, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Okay, I will leave you. You're gonna play a really good song for us, all right?
Yes, yeah, so I'm gonna play a song. And when you come back, can we do a meditation?
Absolutely.
You rock, sister. Okay, right. You go enjoy your stretch.
Okay. And, all right, I'll be right back.
Okay. And I'm going to play a beautiful song by the Beatles that really sums up what me and Sue have been talking about. And, you know, it's a great song, I think, to enter into 2011 as the premise. So I love you guys, and I'm going to let this song play, and then I'll pick up the phone, and then we'll continue. All right, here it goes.
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah.
I love that song.
I'm back.
Oh, excellent. Did you have a nice stretch?
I did. Thank you very much.
Awesome. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn my lights off. And what I would recommend is if you guys are, you know, obviously not driving, if you are listening to this at your house or through the archives, Susan gives amazing meditations. And I don't know if there's anything, you know, appropriate, because remember, not going by today's date, but by the New Year's. So I don't know if anything fits in that kind of, you know, the scheme of things. But get relaxed, you know, shut your eyes, just, you know, allow yourself to go on a guided journey, because Susan's connection with the Arcturians, when she guides you, her visualizations are really right on. And so it really is a multidimensional experience. You just have to simply allow it to happen, and it will. So I am going to, you know, hand the microphone, so to speak, over to you, Susan.
All right. Well, I'm going to have a little precursor.
Please.
To the actual meditation. And let's take a moment and look back over 2010. It was a very big year. And so just take a long, slow, deep breath and allow your, if you're driving again. if you're driving, I would love you to pull over, because I would love to be able to enjoy this meditation.
Or archive. It'll be in the archives. There's plenty of time.
Yes, right. Just, you know, keep your eyes open. So just take a long, slow, deep breath and visualize yourself in your favorite place in the body of Gaia. Take a long moment. Just see whatever that place is. You may be surprised to see exactly what place that actually is. On the other hand, it might be the place that you have always thought of as your most beloved space. And while you are in this place and Gaia's body, you can feel your seat firmly seated on her earth or on her grass, or if you're flying in the sky, if you're in the water, on a boat or swimming, and feel her elements around you, feel her earth and feel her air. Is it warm or is it cool? How does it feel on your face and on your body? And is there any water? Do you hear water? Are you in the water? Is it raining? Do you smell the water? And fire. Is it warm? Is it cool? Sunlight? Moonlight? Direct fire? Reflected fire? And while you're there, take a moment and allow the fourth dimensional elementals to gather all around you to help you remember your very important year of 2010. A very important year. And the elementals of fire, salamander, is the sun and the fire. And all of your neural synapses inside of your body, your own inner sun, Gaia's inner sun. And the air, the self, the air within your body, your breath, the breath that makes your voice, and the sky about you, in the atmosphere. And the earth, which is makes up a large amount of your body.
Those are the gnomes. The gnomes in the planet. The fourth dimensional version of Gaia. And the undines, the water. We have a lot of water in our body. A lot of water on our planet. So now that you're fully grounded, I'd like you to take a moment and just say the word, the month of January of 2010. Don't look. Just allow something to just pop in, float by. Don't be concerned if it was that the exact month. It doesn't matter, because the only real time is now. The month of January, the beginning 2010. What was something that happened or didn't happen? And what did you learn? February, that short month, that Valentine's Day in there. Remember to love. Followed January, where all those New Year's resolutions came out. In March, the beginning of a blessing that maybe there might be a spring, depending on where you live. What about March? And what did you learn? April? Again, just allowing memories to fly through your mind. Do not be attached to whether this is the correct month or not. Maybe you'll just have a collection of 12 memories. Time is not important because we're all in the now. We did April, May. Well, spring is coming now. New life, new growth. May is a time that I go through and plant a bunch of new flowers in my yard. Such as celebrations. And June? Okay, again. Memories. Just talking you through the memories. Don't worry about which month. July, moving into the warmth of summer. The memories of that summer. August, the biggest vacation month, time to relax, to reunite with yourself, hopefully. September, okay, it's the fall, starting all over again, getting the kids ready for school or back to school yourself. And October, days are getting short now. Time to go back into the caves of herself. November, moving close to the end of the year. Those in America, Thanksgiving. For others, harvest time. Getting ready for the winter. Now December, Christmas. Hanukkah, all the other holidays that everyone celebrates. And now, it's December 31st, 2010. Happy New Year. And the Arcturians are going to join us. Take a moment while I get in character here. Beloved ones, we are so joyous to be in the now. And in the now, we can be anytime we choose. And so, right now, we're choosing that this is December 31st, 2010. And all of us yes, us, those of us who fly, hover, wait within the atmosphere of beautiful Gaia, looking down upon all of the wonders, grounded ones, many of them being our own selves who chose to walk in, be born, take its glamour, skies, as they would say. All of us here, Pleiadians, Sirians, Antarians, Andromedans, some from Orion, many and many more. We just speak of those of us who have also had experiences of taking form on the beautiful planet of Gaia. And Gaia has told us that she is ready to come home. She is ready, and she wants to take all of you with her. She wants to take every person, place, animal, thing, being, all of you. She loves all of you, and all of you are preparing for a beautiful year, 2011. 11, the master number, the soul number. 1 and 1 on the lower frequency would be 2, the 2 of joining the polarities into 1, joining the polarity of masculine, the polarity of feminine, coming together now, 2. And as 2 become 1, then 1 replicates itself to become 11. And the replication of yourself is the you that you truly are, the you that chose to log in to the holographic third dimensional game, the you that is a beautiful multidimensional being who has copied and pasted a portion of your consciousness into Gaia's hologram, because you, honored and treasured ones, have chosen to help bring her home as she brings you home as well. A moment and feel how that feels to remember that the game that you are in, the program that you are now running, is an illusion. It's an illusion of your creation, and you are the creator because you are the projector. You are the one that has projected this life onto this reality, and now you are projecting the return. We'll take this moment to begin this return by looking inward, not upward. For we ask you now to change the concept of upward to inward, and the concept of downward to outward. And as you turn and you look inward, you see the path back into you, the core, the projector. And when you project out, you're projecting out into that third dimensional game. So as you turn inward, you see yourself. You see your beautiful multidimensional self. You see it greeting you. And you know that as you come closer and closer to yourself, your frequency will raise and your dimensions will expand. So we ask you now, on December 31st, 2010, to officially begin your return, and we know that many of you already have. And so we're asking you just to make it official, for we know that all of you that are here, all of you that would listen to this, you have already begun. But this is the day that you know that you have begun your return to your multidimensional self. The programmer, the projector, who is creating your reality within this third-dimensional hologram. And you are logging out of the hologram to log in to your home, your true self. So as you look in, you feel Gaia all around you. You feel that you are inside of her now. And you look around and you see that everyone is inside of her. In fact, we all are inside of her because we are her and she is us. And she has created this beautiful place for us to experience being outside of ourselves. But now we know we can't be outside of ourselves. That's an illusion. We are ourselves. We are always and always have been inside of ourselves. As we walk inside of ourselves, we take our first step. We feel our frequency rise. And we feel ourselves on the edge of the astral plane. Now, within this lower astral plane, all the pain and sadness and hurt and anger and fear-based emotion. And so from our great heart that is so expanded by our great experience of being on the outside in the third dimensional world, we beam that light forward towards our multidimensional self on the inside, who beams that light back to us. And we create a beautiful tunnel of light. And as we look around to everyone, everyone who is sharing this moment, we see that that which was once the darkness of the lower astral plane is now bright light because we have created that light. And that bright light floats us into the land of fairy. And we look around and we see our friends from childhood, the fairies and the gnomes and the shapeshifters. They're a wolf, they're a dog, they're a human, the birds who speak to us, the animals that come and share their time with us, the plants that grow because we ask them to, that give us food when we're hungry and happily grow more. And as we do so, we move into the mental plane and to the attachment of the emotional plane moving into that mental plane, where our emotions are who we are and we are aware that because we have chosen to experience being a human, because we have had the braveness and the courageousness, and we speak in terms of we, for we are you. All of our galactic family are you. We have all experienced being Gaia. So we continue speaking as we, for we are one. we who have experienced living upon the body of Gaia, her water world, with all of the emotions and all of the polarities of emotions that we have experienced while living, while taking form on her body, have given us so much power. So much power. We feel that power of emotion, and we revere it. And we know that we have earned this power. For we know that we are here today, that we have learned to choose love. We have learned to look fear in the face and say, I choose love. And as we have choose love, we have choose unconditional love, which moves us swiftly into the mental plane of our thoughts. And we look around and we see light projections of all of our thoughts, which speeds us in to the causal plane where we see the cause and effect. The emotion, the thought, the result. Instantly, we are returning home to the fifth dimension. And there we see our beautiful I Am presence, glorious in the light, standing upon the threshold of the rainbow bridge into the fifth dimension. We go to our I Am presence and share the mutual exchange of unconditional love, which is the key that sets us on to the threshold of the rainbow bridge. There is yet one challenge, for as we look to either side of the rainbow bridge, there is nothing. There is a great void. And so we must know, we must remember that we are beautiful multidimensional beings. And the rainbow bridge is all the colors of all that we have experienced from our sojourn onto the beautiful body of Gaia. And we courageously step upon that bridge. And as we cross that bridge, we see the great void. And we see the void as a moment to pause, to release the bridge, to be the void, to allow ourselves to be nothing, nowhere, no one, free, releasing all, allowing ourselves to experience the ending of a cycle, to experience the beautiful beginning of a cycle. And with that beginning, we see a small speck of light. We move towards that light, and that light moves towards us. We become the light. We become a spark of light. And the spark of light sees off in the distance more light. For we have moved beyond the worlds of form, beyond the worlds of duality, of spirit into matter, and into the worlds of spirit, of light, holding within us our individual lessons. Our individual lessons we will take with us as we step onto the threshold of the fifth dimension. We see our beautiful multidimensional self, and we merge with our beautiful multidimensional self, sharing all the lessons we have learned in our many, many sojourns into a third-dimensional hologram of Earth. And as we integrate these lessons into ourself, our true expression of self, we burst into a greater light than we were before. And as this greater light, we move into the crystal temple at the threshold of the fifth dimension. And as we step into that reality, we become one. We become one with ourself, with all of ourselves, with the crystal temple, with the fifth dimension. The dream is over. We have awakened. We are home now. We ask you all to just hold that. Hold that experience within your consciousness. And know that you do it again and again. You do it at night. You do it in your meditations. You have done it many, many times before. And soon, the entire planet will all do it together as one. Blessings to you, dear one. We are with you. We are with you always. All of us are always with you, for all of us are you. Blessings and happy, happy 2011.
Thank you so much. Wow.
It's cool. We're almost there. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're waiting for your 21st birthday. It's like, I'm going to wait.
I'll tell you that I was there. I mean, that was the beautiful part is, you know, I guess you listen to it again.
Yeah. Well, everyone can. It'll be archived.
Yes, yes. Wow, that was
again and again. I've been there myriad times. You can't do it too much because each time you do it, it's like with our brain when we make neural synapses. When we learn something new, there's this little tiny little, you know, neural electrical circuit in our brain, and we do it again. It gets a little wider, again wider, again wider, wider, wider. It's like a tree that grows
right.
From a twig to a branch to a trunk. And every time we do it, it becomes more comfortable, becomes easier, it becomes more natural. And until it just is. It's just what we do. And then
it's who we are.
Yeah, it's who we are. And everything that we do, we're doing that. We're, you know, it's like, oh. And then also what I've been experiencing, and I know a lot of other people have been experiencing, is that, you know, I look around and we're already there. I mean, we are already, I mean, there's parts of the earth and parts of our lives and parts of our being that are already fifth dimensional.
Yeah.
And we know that's true because those are when we're just, you know, we're just glowing with unconditional love. It's like, whoa, this is cool. I'm loving it, you know. And it's so great when it's like that all the time already.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just keep remembering it and keep doing it and keep returning again and again.
Yeah, it's almost like the more we do it consciously, the more it will become just a part of our, we'll be fifth dimensional beings. You know, it might seem at first that we're in two worlds, but more and more, the third dimensional frequency simply won't be a part of our experience. We'll be in the world, but not of it. It just won't be our experiences.
Yeah.
Because it's physics. The third dimension an experience of being robbed doesn't happen in a fifth dimensional experience, in a fifth dimensional vibration, I mean.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You know, you might find yourself just giving your money away in the sense of, you know, if you're, because, you know, one of the things I'm noticing truly is I'm letting go. I've always been a very good manifester, financial manifester.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm letting go of is the need to have piles of it. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Mm-hmm. I have exactly what I need to do what I want to do, and I don't need to have more than that. You know, I don't, it's not, because my whole definitions in the fifth dimension are so different than my definitions of security, so to speak, from the third dimension.
Right.
You know, my security is my joy. That's what the forest is teaching me. Because it keeps me,
yeah,
you know, safe from disease. It keeps me safe from, I'm not an attraction for somebody who's going out looking to rob somebody. Oh. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was, you know, it's a frequency that says yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the plants, a lot of the plants and animals are already there. They're, you know, they don't have that, you know, they only live in the now. They always lived in the now.
Right.
So,
right. Exactly.
They don't have to release time, and that's a big challenge for us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how much it plays a part in healing. It plays a part in manifesting, in the sense of, you know, I mean, I know people all the time, you know, it's going to take me a while to do this. And it's like, well, that's only a belief.
Yeah.
You can flip that. And they're like, I mean, I've spoken to people in my family that, you know, are adamantly are like, you can't change a belief. Who you are is who you are to your death. And I'm like, wow, that is so limited. especially in this frequency.
You know, there's a higher frequency of that because, yeah, like we were saying before, we have certain patterns of thought and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we could say, yeah, who I am is who I am, because then to a certain extent that's right. But we've got all these different frequencies of who I am.
Okay, there you
and
go.
We can totally change the frequencies.
There you go, which will completely change the experience of who
absolutely
I am.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like you're saying, a rebel, you know, you can enjoy being a fifth-dimensional rebel.
Exactly. Which is, and I'll tell you, there was a true breakthrough when I had that, because in my early rebel stages, I was selling drugs. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, I was very successful at selling drugs.
Well, you said you make money.
You really do. It's an unbelievable amount of money. And since, quote-unquote, doing, you know, following my spiritual path, I've had this, like, block. Like, you know, because I look at it, you know, as most people, whether they be millionaires or otherwise, and I'm not necessarily even looking to be a millionaire, but I'm looking for flow. I know when I have flow in my life. And I was like, Why was I so easily able to have financial flow back in the day when, you know, I was doing these bad things against the law, all that good stuff, you know? And I'm like, why am I not experiencing that now? Because once I've experienced abundance, I know it's in me, whether good, bad, or indifferent, it's in me. But, you know, for the longest time, I kept saying to myself, I seem to only express it if I'm doing bad things. And I didn't understand that until I understood that I am the rebel. That part of me will never change. That is really part of the core of my being. I think my essence enjoys a sense of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what? Like there seems to be plenty of planets. Pardon? Well,
in the fifth dimension, shaking it up. You'll be shaking it up in the fifth dimension.
Yeah. Well, certainly, that's why I feel like on some level, my real, like my orgasmic part of this is the point from 2010 to 2012, which is when, you know, the duality is at its height, because from a rebel point of view, that's when I can really recruit and be my, so to speak, and be my rebel self, because there's a contrast to play against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not that I'm definitely going to enjoy some fifth dimensional time, you know, heaven on earth, most definitely. But I just get the sense that, you know, I might be the kind of person that, or the kind of being, that bounces around planets
that where the rebel plays a part significantly. Because I thrive in this.
Yeah. I want to do some planet bouncing. That sounds good. And then also in terms of money, you know, money's about over. There's some things that are about over. Money is about over.
Yeah.
Government is about over. If you really look at the things that are happening, we can see that it's really coming.
Yeah.
You know, we're moving away from money. Money is something that happens in a reality where there's
control.
Victimizers in control.
Right.
Exactly. And you look at other societies that we're loving. No, they didn't have money in Lemuria.
Really?
Didn't have money. No. They didn't have money in the peaks of Atlantis, only in the fall. And money had different, like with the Incas, money was, they had gold everywhere, so that didn't mean anything. It wasn't special. So they used yarn and they did those little knot things, you know. I mean, money's just an energy field, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always play the money game. That was, I think I must have been really miserly in a lot of lives, or maybe a bandito or something. And it was like a big thing in my family. And, you know, so I got in that money trap a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like that's one of the things I'm not playing anymore. You do what you do. You do the best you can.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, if we put fear on it, then it's got fear on it.
Right. Well, then it'll shrink. I mean, it's ultimately fear
shrink.
Is the limitation of whatever
that's
the situation
right.
you're experiencing.
Fear shrinks, love expands, absolutely.
Yeah. Because, you know, we have about a half an hour. I'm curious if the Arcturians are talking about the pole shift at all.
They haven't said anything about that. There's not going to be, I haven't got any disaster thing, but we'll give them an ask and see. Let me.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'm just, a lot of the beings I'm following are talking about that, and not from a disaster point of view, but just from a, it's going to change things up.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well, from a geometric, you know, or a geological point of view, things will be, you know, it's kind of, I'm looking at it as, it's like the, you know, when you, if you pull a rubber band, it reaches a point where either it's going to snap back or it's going to break. I don't know how it's going to be experienced, but one of those things are going to happen. Either it's going to snap back or it's going to break, and that is almost like the geological experience of Gaia saying that it's a demarcation of, okay, now in that break, we will rebuild differently, so to speak, not with the old consciousness.
Right for that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, so do you want me to ask them and see, or I'll?
That would
I'll
be awesome if you're open to that. Sure.
I'll get in there and you ask them. Okay. So
okay.
I don't ever really know exactly what they're going to say. So.
Oh no, I honor that. I honor that totally.
All right. Get a drink of water here in a second.
No problem.
Golden Hawk.
Namaste.
We are here to answer your question. Did you have a question for us?
Well, the question is if there's any information you can share about the pole shift that several indigenous cultures, the Mayans and stuff, are speaking about right now.
If one were to be on a third-dimensional planet at the time of a pole shift, there would be major disaster on that planet, for everything would change and the destruction would be worldwide.
Yeah.
We speak now of a shift
in frequency of the planet, and within the frequency of the fifth dimension, there will not be poles. For poles are north and south, top, bottom, the cold with the heat along the equator. Does this not sound like third-dimensional polarities?
Absolutely.
Within the fifth-dimensional reality, there will not be polarities. The temperature will all be mild on all areas of the planet. There will not be a north and south and east and west. There will be here. There will not be a Pacific time, standard time, Chinese time. There will be now.
Mm.
So to think in terms of a pole shift, yes, there is a pole shift. They will shift towards each other, and there will not be poles. There will not be a polar region. There will not be a desert region. There will not be extreme hot. There will not be extreme cold. There will be the in-between.
Huh.
It is a concept that is unique to those who are still, as we say, wearing an earth vessel with a third-dimensional biological computer brain.
Huh. Very interesting.
Did you understand what we were saying?
I get a little bit lost in the in-between, but I understand it as it would be another, it's a dimension that is not third nor fifth.
The pole shift doesn't shift that the north and south change directions. At least not for those who are moving into fifth-dimensional Earth. If a Gaia chooses to have that third-dimensional experience, it would be the cataclysm that some of your horror films have portended. But those to whom we are speaking have not chosen to have the experience of physical disaster. There are some whose soul has not been able to connect with them, and they may, from a soul level, choose to experience a physical disaster so that in that moment before death, they will remember that they are soul, that it is an illusion, and they will awaken and return home. Some may need to run that program in order to log out of the game of separation and limitation. Those who have chosen to enter into the fourth dimensional reality, the fourth dimension is very mutable. Forms are mutable. Poles are mutable. Time is mutable. Space is mutable. Therefore, a pole shift would be a mutable experience. It would not be disastrous as it would be, as it is, upon the third dimension. Third dimensional Gaia has had pole shifts, and what happens with the pole shift is that everything that is bonded together by electromagnetic field is dissipated. For the positive and the negatives are switched, and therefore the form is gone.
Right.
Which is why the archaeologists are not able to go back into ancient times, for they have been dissipated by the pole shift. Gaia is ready to return home. She is ready to take her people with her. those who have chosen to join her, those who have chosen to make that pole shift within themselves, the shift of the masculine and the feminine energy within themselves to meet within the oneness of the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere meeting within the oneness, and the love and the hate meeting within the loveness, the oneness. The masculine and the feminine being one, the you and the me being one. And Gaia's pole shift will be that there isn't a pole, there is a oneness, there is one circular ball of light upon which beings of light create the reality.
Wow. May I ask another question pertaining to this?
Please do.
So will we have the opportunity to experience this not physical or semi-physical? Or I'm not... like
those who need to have the experience of the end of the world before they are able to wake up may choose to have that experience.
Okay.
Many people, you look at your veterans of World War II, and they look back on that as the best time of their life. It was a horrific time.
Oh, really? Indeed.
It was a time in which the planet was almost killed.
Huh.
But those that experienced the bravery and the camaraderie woke up to a part of themselves that they had not experienced before.
Okay, okay.
We don't anticipate that you would choose to make that choice, would you?
Yeah, no. Been there, done that. A couple lifetimes.
Those of you who have awakened to your multidimensional selves have faced death many times.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you didn't die.
Right.
You merely transformed out of that body and returned into a fourth dimensional expression of yourself. Except upon the times that you ascended, which means the times which you consciously transmuted your physical form into a higher form, and you walked across that frequency line, awake and aware.
Mm.
Many of you who are the leaders now have had experiences of ascension in other lifetimes. Therefore, you have returned to assist Gaia. Some of you have even had experiences of ascending with planets.
Mm.
There are many from Sirius B, several of the water worlds around Sirius B have ascended. Many of our worlds and Arcturus have ascended. Many worlds in Pleiades and Sirius A have ascended. Those who have experienced planetary ascension have reincarnated on Gaia at this time.
Yeah.
For within them, they have that knowing that will assist them. You are among them, Golden Hawk.
Thank you. I feel that, but I appreciate that confirmation, yes. Is that why I feel so comfortable right now, as everything seems to be coming, you know, to a single point, which is what it feels like.
Now you are remembering why you bothered to enter that form.
Right. Right.
It has been a bother. It has been a bother for most of our light workers, for they came from a very high frequency and to suddenly awaken and find themselves in a very small little infant form that is completely helpless, for which they had no control was actually quite terrifying for many of them.
Right.
But that terror was good because they called in their guides and we were able to assist them. And that early connection to their guides, also very often severed during adolescence, but not so much now. Now the adolescent ones are remembering.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
A much higher frequency.
Wow. Wow. So the kids will be okay, huh, during this shift?
The kids will be the leaders.
Yeah, exactly.
The children already know. They have always known. They are playing a game of being a child, but inside, they are very adult.
Hmm.
Ascension is much like turning inside out. For as we spoke before, we go inside to return to ourselves in the higher dimensions. Because inside, in our core, is our multidimensional self. In Gaia's core is her multidimensional self. So if you go inside, we will transform into the higher dimensional expression of self.
Mm.
For all of the beings on Earth and for all of us. For all frequencies are rising. All of those in the first, second, and third frequency of the physical world is moving into the fourth and fifth. And those in the fourth are moving into the fifth. Those in the fifth are moving to the sixth. Sixth are moving into the seventh. All the way up to the 11th and the 12th. And the 12th is moving into beyond. It's an octave shift for this entire quadrant of space.
Mm.
And the cornerstone is beloved Gaia. Courageous one who has taken on the greatest polarity and has been a schoolroom for us all for millions of years.
Is there only one Gaia, and is there only one planet like Gaia?
Planets are like snowflakes. There are millions of snowflakes, and they all
right.
have a different pattern.
Right.
There's millions of planets, and they all have a different pattern. Gaia is unique in that the absolute polarity and the absolute free will has created absolute horrific fear and absolute unconditional love.
Mm. The two poles.
The poles are shifting towards the middle. They're moving in into the center flow of the one.
Wow, that's exquisite. So, are you in ships watching us go through this, or is this you watched through the grounded ones? Or both?
Many of us are in ships. Many of us are in pure consciousness.
Right.
Those of us that resonate to the eighth dimension and beyond do not need a container for our consciousness.
Right.
Those in the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions create a form to contain their consciousness. They are in forms of varying shapes and sizes.
Oh, were you in...
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Please continue.
That was it. We are all proud of you.
I don't think we could do this without your support.
Well, you are us and we are you.
Mm.
We are supporting you, but we are supporting us, for we are the grounded ones. The grounded ones who are the vanguards are these of these moments of planetary ascension are members of those who have ascended before. They are members of their galactic family. They are one with our galactic family. And what a beautiful union. What a beautiful party. We are awaiting to have our family back with us. So we are helping you, but we are you. So you are helping we. Because we are us. English language needs to be transformed.
Yes, it does. One other quick question. Were you involved in the recent sightings? Were any Arcturians involved in the recent sightings over New York City?
We orchestrated it.
Nice.
Our ships resonate to a very high frequency.
Okay.
The fifth and the sixth, and we are there always. Always we are there.
Okay.
But it is very difficult for us to lower our frequency to a dimension that can be perceived by your media. This is why the ships that are seen blink in and out.
Okay.
Or it is difficult for them to lower to such a low frequency. Most of the ships that are easily seen, they are from Earth.
Oh,
most
really?
Of them, they
wow.
are from the United States.
Okay.
They have had flying saucers for quite a while.
Right.
Those are the ones that are easily seen. They also have the ability to project holograms.
Right.
However, we will not allow that to happen. Gaia has asked for us to assist her. Gaia's light workers have asked. So therefore, we are not breaking the law of free will because we have been asked and we are responding.
Yes.
We will not allow this to be a failure, for it has already happened.
Yes.
And all you need to do is to return beyond time to the one, to the fifth dimensional Earth that already is.
Oh, blessings. Thank you so much. Your presence and your frequency truly fill my being with joy. Truly, genuinely, it's exquisite. Thank you.
You are of that being.
I'm remembering more and more every day. Definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think that we're, according to when I started recording, I think we're coming to the time to say goodbye.
Okay.
No one has to cut any of this off, so.
Yeah, no. Like, indeed. No, and it'll play over anyways as long as I hold the phone. But, Susan, thank you. You are exquisite. Thank you for bringing in the new year with me. I will so be in touch with you next year. Please have an amazing holiday. And every time you raise your glass, know that you raise it for all unconditional love everywhere, that we will see each other and we will all have a great big party in the fifth dimension.
And a happy new year to all of you. And Goldie, I raise my glass to you and to each and every person that ever hears or experiences these messages beyond time and space, because it was given in the now of the one. And now the one, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! I love you, Susan. I love you. Blog Talk Radio, everybody have an amazing night and be special and be safe and just be in joy and all will be well. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Susan. I appreciate everything.
Thank you.
All right. Namaste, sister.
Namaste.